Good evening, and thank you for coming tonight to A Breast Cancer Story Told Through Art. My name is Stephanie McLeod Estevez, and I am the founder of Creative Transformations. First and foremost, I'd just like to lay the foundation of some of the words that I found inspiring, not only in crafting this discussion tonight, but also in going through the process of healing emotionally from breast cancer. So the first, they're both quotes by Rumi, who's a 13th century Persian poet and a beloved one of the expressive therapists. I am not this hair. I am not this skin. I am the soul that lives within. And the second is, the wound is the place where the light enters you. And I put that in there because while there can be a lot of very challenging things that come with having breast cancer, I also believe it can be a very transformative experience. And so when I think about challenges versus transformations, I always err on the side of transformations. So a little background on myself. I'm an art therapist. I'm also a triple negative breast cancer survivor, stage 3A at diagnosis, and I am also a BRCA2 positive mutation holder. So I have both my experience of being a breast cancer survivor, but I was also one of the caregivers for my mom, who sadly died of metastasized breast cancer in 2000. And so, you know, I've really been kind of on both sides of the picture. I'm the mother of two young boys who were 5 and 7 at the age when I was diagnosed. And I'm, as I mentioned, the founder of Creative Transformations, which is dedicated to helping others heal emotionally from life-threatening conditions. So my intention when I was thinking about doing this art show, there were some different things that I set as intentions for what I hope to accomplish. First and foremost, October can be a very bittersweet month for those whose lives are touched by breast cancer, both patients and their loved ones. On one hand, it's nice to have the attention and support and fundraising that comes along with it. But then, of course, there can sometimes be that commercialization of it, which doesn't feel appropriate. And then there are those of us who have lost loved ones to breast cancer. And so that can remind us of our grief. So I always believe that if you're feeling a lot of mixed feelings, that connection and community are important components for healing. So you may have come with someone tonight who you know, but I bet there's someone in this room that you don't know. And so I would encourage you to take the time to reach out to somebody maybe who you don't know, because you never know when you're going to meet that individual who you have a core connection with, and perhaps you can form an alliance for healing. So again, connection's really important. I also wanted to honor my own healing journey and share from the perspective of the personal story combined with my professional knowledge that will hopefully inspire others as they heal. And my another intention was to acknowledge that to restore ourselves following a cancer diagnosis, we tap into many layers of experience, our body, mind, spirit, and self, that need care, attention, and an opportunity to share in the storytelling of one's own experience. So it's not just our minds that tell the story, it's our body. Our body might tell it very differently. Our spirit has a take, and our sense of self also. So out of curiosity, I'm just wondering how many breast cancer survivors there are in the room tonight. Okay, cool. Welcome. And how about loved ones? Nice. And any providers? Okay. Well, thank you for coming. So the format for today is this presentation about my breast cancer journey, and questions from you all are welcome. Then there's the art show component of it. The cast that I'm going to describe tonight are here on display. And during that time after the talk, I would definitely welcome individual and small group conversations. So just approach me. There's also an invitation for you to join in the experience, but I will explain that at the end. And there's also a sign-up sheet and business cards around. So if you'd like to sign up for the weekly blog or learn more about creative transformations, if you leave me your information, I will happily send you what you need to know and begin a conversation via email, or you can take a card and look me up and go from there. And again, thanks for coming. Okay, so I'm gonna begin with a brief description of what process art is, because process art isn't fine art. It's not meant to be about a finished product. It's about trying to express a thought, a feeling, experience, etc., through color, shape, or form. Now, of course, tonight you're going to see finished products, and while that wasn't necessarily why I did it to begin with, when I began to think of how powerful this could be as a discussion, I was like, okay, we'll finish these off. It's generally very abstract, but not always. I mean, that's kind of up to the individual artist themselves. The idea is to try and capture our internal experience on paper. And when we externalize it, we begin to tap into the experience while at the same time make it more tangible and visible. So it's this really intriguing way of, like, in some respects leaning in while at the same time getting a deeper, more observational stance. Because to survive an intense or traumatic experience, we often will shut down and or compartmentalize the experience to survive it, which is fine in the short run, but in the long run, it can make it go underground in our psyche and interfere with our ability to process it later on. And so art can assist us in expressing that which we feel have difficulty verbalizing. And the ultimate goal of it is to be able to take our fragmented parts and make them whole, to make the nonverbal more verbal, so that we begin to have a fuller experience and we're not closing ourselves off, because ultimately we want to really feel restored, not in pieces. So the other part of tonight's talk is that I'm going to be reading these excerpts from different parts of my treatment. I did a recovery update, which ultimately ended up kind of being like a blog. So I wanted to just pull out some words so you could kind of get a sense of where I was at different moments in my time. So this one on 11/24/2014. First booby cast done. I am hoping to get a couple of different ones done and perhaps create a mold. Who knows? I have some themes that I would be interested to explore artistically, or perhaps I will just end up with a basement full of tatas, disembodied ones at that. Suppose I could always use them in a haunted house or something. And I included this quote in part because I wanted to just show, you know, often our creativity, which to me is like the first steps of healing, will speak to us in these little blips and sparks of inspiration. And it's really important to at least note them down, because that's your internal wisdom speaking to you. And you never know which ideas might actually be the ones that bring you all the way down the road. And so, so I wanted that to be obvious to you all. It's not like I knew 100% what I was going to do at the beginning. If we put that sort of pressure on ourselves, we'll never get anywhere because, of course, we can't predict the journey at all. So the overview of the art process for what I did with these casts was, of course, first I made the casts, and I used a plaster Paris, which is a really easy material to work with. You know, and I chose to do it pre-mastectomy, although when I did my radiation cast, I couldn't do it on my pre-mastectomy form, and so I did a post-mastectomy for that one. But that's not necessary per se. You could do it on your bodies as exists today if you've already been through surgery. But, you know, using paper or canvas can be just as effective. Had I not done any of these casts or felt like perhaps maybe I didn't have enough storage space for them, I could have gotten just, you know, almost as much out of the experience on paper as I did on cast. But I will tell you that one big surprise for me when I went to actually do my processing on my cast was, you know, I thought that I might feel sadness or anxiety or anger, and certainly those feelings were there to a certain degree. But the most overriding feeling, which was so surprising, was I felt very peaceful and actually very joyful to be able to touch myself in this way. So, and I think I would have had that feeling even if it was I didn't get the ones done before the mastectomy. So that's just 2 cents to put out there, that it's actually a really powerful, to make a canvas based on you is quite powerful. So if you were to try this at home, prepping for the art making / reprocessing of something, you know, think of it like a date with yourself. So you're going to want to set up an environment that feels welcoming for getting into a creative space, for nurturing yourself during it. Like, I always try to have all of my supplies I think I'll need handy and sort of arranged on a table, like as if I was having, you know, a friend over for dinner, and I might make my table look welcoming. I also tend to put on music that puts me into a feeling state of mind. And then I generally have a small idea as to what I want to work on in that moment. And sometimes I even do a little art making writing down, jotting down. And then when you get there, the idea is that you tune inwards, you go inwards into self to help interpret and translate what you're seeing, feeling, experiencing inside. And so, you know, if you're not used to making this type of art, you might just do a warm-up of, you know, doodling or drawing, like getting your creative juices flowing, playing with the supplies that you have to see what they do. But then eventually you want to go inside and say, okay, what is it that I want to, where's my starting point today? And, you know, when we do that, we tap into our power of curiosity. And curiosity and creativity are essential for healing, because lots of times, how often do you spend perhaps criticizing yourself or judging yourself or trying to dismiss a feeling? So, you know, that puts us, while we're trying to maybe regain a sense of control, like ultimately that puts us in you know, a really negative frame of mind. And so when you're doing art, and the purpose of art is to try to express something internally, most people are going to go into this very curious, creative place. And that means you're open. You're open to just hearing the story that is inside. And it's really cool experience. And then after I do something, you know, through art therapy or processing a tough day, etc., I always try to include some post art making reflection. And, you know, that might be like making a few notes of what I see about what I did. Like, oh, this strikes me as such and such. This is what I was trying to describe. Or this is how I feel now. I feel peaceful. I feel peaceful even though I've been thinking about what it was like to be diagnosed. Like, isn't this interesting? I can hold a much broader perspective of what's going on for me. And then, in my opinion, art making deepens our connection to our own unique wisdom. And because we follow that connection to our unique wisdom and hopefully act upon it, it builds confidence. I think when you go through something traumatic, like being, you know, having cancer or going through treatment, that vulnerability can sometimes really affect our sense of self-confidence, our sense of safety in the world, etc. And like, ultimately, we have to learn to live with the unknown. And it sure as heck puts us face to face with all of those deeper existential dilemmas that we face. And so when we realize that we have unique wisdom about our own experience and about what we need, then we begin to feel confident even in the face of that really intense, hard time. So any questions so far? Yes. Okay. So now I'm going to move into the more personal part, the more artistic part of my experience, to give you a flavor, a taste for what I've done to process these different chapters. So one of the things that I like to be and I like to do is sometimes be playful with an experience. And so the idea of doing acrostic poetry came to mind. So I've done one for each of the stages, and the first one, of course, being diagnosis. Delivering immediate anxiety, generating nervous outlook, serious internal stress. And then, of course, I had to follow up for one for biopsy. Blatant intrusion of physical self. Yuck. Because a little humor is important. So again, words from my blog. As it often goes in life, plans often change. I did not have chemo today because my oncologist did not get the MRI report until this morning. The lymph node needs to be biopsied. They decided to hold off treating me today because if it's positive for cancer, then the whole game plan will likely change. So I have a biopsy scheduled for first thing tomorrow morning and some form of chemo scheduled for Friday at 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for more information and please keep us in your prayers. You know, the diagnosing stage is probably one of the most strenuous times because no one has the quote-unquote typical story. Like, we almost always have something that comes up that complicates things. So here on the screen, you see a picture of the diagnosis cast, and below or to the side of it are sort of my internal responses to what I see on canvas. I see an uproar of mixed thoughts, feelings, and reactions all happening at once. My heart is in the pit of my stomach. Things are moving fast, and I feel off kilter trying to keep up with the testing, information, new reality, recommendations, the implications for myself, my family, and children. Yet I can see a glimmer of hope, peacefulness, a deep reservoir of strength that is holding me in place, helping me to surrender and trust I was going to be okay. After I made the cast, a poem came to mind, and this is what it was. It's titled, What It Feels Like to Be Diagnosed. fear, pain, anguish, disbelief, thoughts, feelings bleed into one another. A peaceful resignation when acceptance comes. I must focus. One step in front of the other. Push away the what ifs, because this time breast cancer won't win. History can't repeat itself. My family needs me. Grasping for the ground as I go through each procedure, mammogram, ultrasound, a sharp needle, grasping at the very cells which threaten my life. Finding my center as we hunt down the suspicious spots in my body. It had better not have metastasized. CT scan, PET scan, MRI, thudding in my ears and veins. Injections, projections, all necessary to find a good plan. Listening to the info, the kindness and brilliance of my doctors, no lack of empathy here, a question I never contemplated, my chances of dying, typed out in black and white, spit out of the computer, 30% mortality rate, if treatment works. Completely stunned and thankful, I did not think to ask, because this chica won't take no for an answer. Not this time. So my final words straight from the blog about diagnosis period are these: feeling overwhelmed. Call from my doctor today to hear that the results from the leg biopsy were inconclusive. They showed atypical cells, but they were unable to confirm or deny if it was cancer. The spot is too deep to remove without seriously delaying chemo, so they will watch it. My case has gone through clinical review, and it has been recommended that I now have a CT scan of my neck and shoulder region, because there was a brown spot. Likely nothing, but they have decided that they need to rule it out or in, which may also mean another biopsy. This is in part due to some of the unusual features of how the breast cancer formed. It's confusing, but it sounds something like it had been born in a vessel or lymph node, not within the breast tissue. To say the least, I don't think I can process much more info. Time to wash the dishes and do something that feels familiar, easy, and predictable. XOXO, S. Fortunately, we did make it through that period, and like 2 days after I wrote that blog, chemotherapy started. So my acrostic for chemotherapy is chemical help eliminating monstrous objects. Straight from the blog. Still feeling pretty good after needing to get up early this AM to deal with some nausea. What will tomorrow bring? I don't want to jinx myself, but I actually woke up feeling pretty amazing this morning. No nausea and an appetite. I can tell myself I am feeling slower, but I think working today is going to be okay. Phew. Picked up my wigs today. Hair is supposed to fall out over the weekend, which feels so surreal. So I am on an unplanned chemocation this week. My hemoglobin is in the anemia doghouse, meaning that I will need to have a blood transfusion on Wednesday. My eyebrows and eyelashes are almost gone, whereas my head is covered in peach fuzz. I have a feeling my hair will fall out again with the chemo being back on track. Strange days. The chemo cast. This is the moment where I'm on my knees, pleading for my life. The port that has surgically entered my body, my veins, creates fear that the port could carry an infection straight to my heart. The cast is stark. The treatment plan is clear-cut. I can now feel my cancer when I dance. We are in a clinical moment. My blood tells the story of how my body is responding to the toxic medicine. And then there is a palpable difference to the tumor. My oncologist and I share this moment of triumph and hope. Chemo poetry. Chemo, the battle to kill the cancer, feels like a death march of self. Wondering which cells are going to outlast the other. Each week we measure, making sure the damage is not irreversible, holding our breaths to see if the medicine that kills is killing effectively. My body grows more tired with each round. I cling on to whatever normalcy I can muster. My onc must have nerves of steel and deep conviction in the treatment, for to observe this battle day in and day out must be brutal. Come, she says. This will soon be over, and then you can rest. An ode to my oncologist. Putting faith in your doctor's hands, my life hangs in a balance. I am trusting you to do what you can to save my life. I wonder how you face that pressure day in and day out. You have become my lifeline, my trusted confidant, to get me safely to the other side while sidestepping the death traps that both this illness and its treatment can bring. And then fortunately, chemo finished, and I had my double mastectomy. Mastectomy, making an attempt to stop the enemy, carving treachery out of my ears. Straight from the bog. My dear friend Katie came for a visit yesterday, and as she was leaving, said goodbye to my tatas. It was an unanticipated and very tender moment, especially as we went through the process of becoming mamas together, so it brought out some of the complex feelings that I have been having. It's sad. It's a relief. It's a bit scary. It would be disingenuous to deny that I have been thinking about death. I am not deeply worried about dying, but it's moments like this when we face our mortality. So as a result, we nest. We try to savor the moments prior to a big change. There are tears and laughter and all of the feelings in between. And naturally, to-do lists. On Friday, I will have a family member update the page so you will all know that I am okay. Hugs. The double mastectomy cast. The one thing I'll mention about this particular cast, which again is just sort of goes back to that spontaneous trust of the art process, was this was the first cast we did, and we were convinced that if we lubed it up with Vaseline that we could pour in plaster and then like pop it off and have this mold, so I wouldn't necessarily have to stand every time we needed to make a cast. The plaster didn't come out at all. And of course, so we just left as is. But when I was going to choose from my cast for the mastectomy one, I came to this one. I was like, of course, it has to be this one. It's heavy. It holds the weight and feelings behind that procedure. So anyways, with that in mind, cancer's collateral damage is undeniable with this life-saving intervention. It's the breeding ground for future illness. They find stage zero DCIS in my non-cancer breast, and my body betrays me again. This cast is painted completely by hand. It's such a visceral loss. You feel tainted by the disease, and you grieve that which comforted the children, my softness and femininity. It takes time to view the new me. My poem for mastectomy. 5 a.m., wake up, prepping to do the one thing I always promised myself I would do. The one thing she didn't do. Hoping this will be the act that changes the end of the story. A final squeeze with my family, and then it's out the door, driving towards the unknown. Chemo knocked me into menopause, but the pregnancy test must be done. Adding salt to the wound. A fluster of activity until the sedative comes. And when I wake again, I am stunned to learn it has already happened. The fog of anesthesia is disquieting. It is done. They are gone. Cancer's collateral damage. Being that my cancer was locally advanced, had gone to the lymph nodes, I was clearly a candidate for radiation. So radiation, rapidly addressing dangerous illness, attending to the interests of organic needs. Straight from the blog. Had my first radiation treatment today. Wow, that sucked. Pardon my language. You might say that I'm grappling with a bit of treatment fatigue, which I know I will wrap my head around, but for the moment, I am going to just let it be. The machine is kind of creepy, and there's a burning sensation afterwards. So I am perking myself up by cooking a yummy soup for my family and listening to the comedic talent of David Sedaris. Thanks to my lovely sister-in-law, Donna, and brother, Matt. Rock on, my fine friends. The RADS, i.e. radiation cast. The square that slowly formed, the outline of the heart which emerged without planning. Gash in the center of my breast, the tender skin. We prayed it would not burst apart as the medicine burned deep into the center of where the cancer grew. Precise treatment, so frequent, so short, it was an in and out kind of deal that left a lasting impression. I see a grasping from where the vessel was, darkened, no longer hot with cancer, but not healthy. It feels condensed and restricted. Poetry, radiation, the cancer triangle. I am strapped in, locked down, positioned just so. Quaking without moving is difficult. I feel the anxiety vibrating through my skull. What happens if I accidentally move? The rest of the days get easier. I step in line with the mechanics. Bearing my chest to it all. Final words from the blog. I wrote this post It was about 4 or 5 months after treatment, active treatment had ended. But as I was getting prepared for my final reconstruction and oophorectomy, which was removal of the ovaries due to my BRCA2 mutation. So this is what I said. What has struck me recently about this experience was recognizing how my body has begun to feel more private again. Going through treatment, there is a way in which your body becomes public, with the multitude of medical intervention, attention, and examination. To get through it, you have to detach to a certain degree, because most of us don't live under that level of scrutiny on a regular basis. To be in touch with each time it is poked, prodded, etc., would be exhausting. Not to mention that the physical changes, like total hair loss, announced to anyone paying attention, "I'm sick," it can be a bit overwhelming. So while ultimately I know that this upcoming procedure is going to be much easier than everything else, I have thankfully lost a little bit of that thick skin, which does make me feel a bit more vulnerable to it all. And that in and of itself is a like perfect encapsulation of what it happens after you start stop treatment. So finally, my invitation to you of your own free will to interact with the exhibit. By each cast, you will find blank slips of paper, writing utensils, clipboards, and a basket. And so I want you to just sort of write your first impression, your initial thoughts or feelings about each cast, anything that comes to mind, and then you can fold it and leave it in the basket. I've done this a lot when you have like a group project going on, and it's really, really fun and a true gift to each artist to have these impressions and be able to read them. And so my thought is that those responses that I receive will somehow be incorporated into the original artwork. I'm not entirely sure what it is yet, but you know, time will tell. I also just wanted to remind you or let you know, if you haven't read this already, that on November 2nd, myself and my cohort, Beth Eilers, will be back here again. And this time we'll be doing a workshop called Sleep and Solutions for Insomnia. So it's going to be really great. And I know a lot of us struggle with that. So hopefully you can come. And thanks for coming. It's been a real honor to be here tonight.